Before we jump in here, let me just say, if you do not have, we got our deacons in the back, if you do not have one of these, a cup for our communion, if you would just slip your hand up, we want to make sure everybody has one. Did anyone not? Got a few. All right. Yeah, y'all just hang out for a minute. Just think about all of the good food that you're going to be eating here in a little while, all the presents you'll be opening tomorrow. Anybody else? Raise your hand if you would. All right, we got a few up here. Good. Was that raising hand for food? Or yeah, okay, I got you. All right, yeah, sorry. Yeah, might have been a little confusing. This is just a small little bit of nourishment. Anybody else? All right, we don't want to miss anybody. All right. You know, I mentioned gifts. And tomorrow, many of us are going to get to open gifts. Before the service, I was talking to a few people, and someone asked me if I'd been a good boy this year. The jury's still out. I told them tomorrow we'll find out. I don't know. But tomorrow's going to be a wonderful day of celebration, right? We're having a day of celebration today. And man, what a wonderful way to celebrate. I didn't plan to do this, but I'm so thankful to have Roger on staff and to be leading us in worship. What a great celebration, a time of worship. Thank you for leading for the all work of worship team. A day of celebration, a day of joy, a day that we set aside to celebrate the greatest event. Two great events in history, the entrance of our Savior for the purpose of the next great event, equally great, the day he would give his life for our sins. He entered the world, a great gift. You know, we talk about gifts, and we're going to be giving and receiving gifts tomorrow. I look forward to that. You know, it's a time of joy for our family. It's a way to show your family members that they are important. We should do that all year, of course, but it's a day to show how much we care. And, you know, you think back through the years, all the gifts that you've received, and man, I've received a lot. And we're going to talk about gifts this morning, important gifts, gifts that we should all think about, that we should all take into account, and then give a gift that we should give, not just one day a year, but every day of the year. So let's look at a few gifts this morning. The first gift that I want to talk about is the gift that God gave us, the gift of his son Jesus. Now, we've read a little bit from Luke chapter 2 this morning, and I want to read again. Just a couple of verses from that passage of Scripture. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. The first registration took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. Now, I want you to think about what's happening here. You know, we've read this story. We read it every Christmas. We read it regularly, but we maybe don't think about the significance of what's going on here. Beginning with the fact that we see Joseph and Mary traveling to Bethlehem. And what we see happening throughout these verses is God's plan unfolding exactly as it was foretold. I mean, his plan is unfolding before our very eyes. And what one of the things that's amazing about this is that God had promised a Savior. He had promised that this Savior would be a human and not an angel. We see that in Genesis 3, and then later in Hebrews 2, it's reinforced that he would be a Jew and not a Gentile. Genesis chapter 12 and Numbers 24. He would be from the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49, the family of David, 2 Samuel 7, born of a virgin, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 speaks to that, in Bethlehem, the city of David, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. So everything is happening according to the scriptures as we read through this Christmas story. And as I was saying a minute ago, what's happening, I love this, Caesar is playing an important role in this, and he doesn't have a clue. I mean, God, we see God using even evil leaders to accomplish his purpose. We see it with Nebuchadnezzar, right? I mean, other times in Scripture. And Caesar, who ordered this census, has no idea that he is contributing to the fulfillment of prophecy. A.T. Pearson used to say, history is his story. And it is. President James Garfield called history the unrolled scroll of prophecy. Even if it's not recorded in Scripture, history is unfolding according to God's plan. Yes, we have free will. Yes, sin has entered the world, and God is not the author of sin, but God's plan is still unfolding exactly the way he had planned for it to. And nothing is going to interfere with that. And we see that happening in these scriptures. All of this happened to bring about God's promise to bring the greatest gift man has ever and will ever receive. And God did it out of his love for the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. The greatest gift man has ever received was God's gift to us, his son Jesus. But then Jesus gave us a gift as well. Jesus gave us the gift of his life. And we're going to honor that in a special way this morning, here in just a few moments. Jesus was willing to come to this earth, God in the flesh, and then give us the gift of his life. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. This is why the Father loves me, Jesus says, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Now, this death, the gift of his life, was a voluntary gift. Now, you may give some gifts out of obligation, right? Let's be honest. I mean, there are some gifts that you give willingly and voluntarily. It's very clear in Scripture that Jesus giving his life was a voluntary gift. No one forced him to lay it down. From a human perspective, we see the death of Jesus, and it looks like an execution, right? I mean, from all indications, you know, a sentence was handed down, a sentence was carried out. But from a divine perspective, from the perspective of Scripture, it was not an execution. It was Jesus voluntarily laying down his life. In his own words that we just read, he voluntarily gave his life for us. No one could force Jesus, the God of the universe, in human form, to give his life if he chose not to. I think about in his hometown of Nazareth, when they attempted to execute him there, what happened? You know, I would love to have been there when he stopped them in their tracks. You know, was it a look? Was it the words that he said? Was it the power of God that overwhelmed them? He stopped it. And he could have stopped it before he went to the cross, but he chose not to. He voluntarily gave his life. And then we see on the cross, he voluntarily yielded his spirit to the Father. Luke chapter 23, verse 44 through 46. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3, because the sun's light had failed. The curtain of the sanctuary in the temple was split down the middle. And Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He's in full control here. "Into your hands I yield my spirit." And saying this, he breathed his last. And then John chapter 19, verse 30 records these words. When Jesus received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." What was finished? God's plan was finished.